Welcome, welcome, welcome to Redacted on this Tuesday. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And on this show, our goal is to seek the truth wherever it takes us, covering the stories the mainstream media largely ignores. We cut through the propaganda and we welcome our Redacted Rebel Army here on the show. So if you're watching this show, you've rejected mainstream media, you are a rebel. And I love like some of the changes like we've seen in Italy, right? We've seen some major changes recently where literally like supporting the family is now considered rebellion. Rebellious, wanting to make sure that you're taking care of your own family, your own people, like that's considered rebellious. Like that's right. Where we are these days.
Gardening is now an act of rebellion, which right. Makes us like super rebellion. Having your own chickens, right? My sister asks if tonight's show is going to scare her because last night we talked a lot about the rhetoric around nuclear war. There still is that, but there is a lot of progress in the news, specifically East meets West. So we're going to follow that trail and see where it leads us.
So we are going to talk about what is happening with Vladimir Putin readying a massive amount of troops at the border. The mobilization has been unfolding this afternoon, and we have some major movements in the Donbas region this afternoon. In fact, voting just wrapping up and vote tallies now complete, which has been amazing. So we're going to take you there. We also have, of course, major developments on the Nord Stream pipelines. We're going to bring you the very latest on that sabotage and destruction, literally putting Europe into a cold winter with no energy, no natural gas. Germany is going to be in a world of hurt this afternoon. So we will tell you about that.
And we know who the major players are, East meets West, right? We know it's China, Russia versus the United States and the European Union. And we are increasingly watching the countries that exist on the margin that are having to be diplomatic, Serbia being one of them. Now, the European Union is not happy with Serbia because they do not continue to kiss the ring of the EU.
To bend the knee
and of the EU. So they are in big trouble. They have some splaining to do, says the West.
They're in EU timeout. It's going to be interesting. So we'll bring you the Serbian news. We also have a big story on, I don't even know how to say this. So I'll let you say.
Let me say it.
Yes.
An investigation from The Telegraph in the United Kingdom finds that state-funded trans rights advocacy groups are giving children breast binders without their parents' consent. In fact, this investigation found that this organization, which receives taxpayer money in the United Kingdom, offered to send young children breast binders and mail them anonymously so that parents would not find out. We're going to talk about transgender rights and how this is increasingly something on the ballot, but I do not think politicians have any interest in getting it right. And we're going to talk about who is benefiting from this, right? Certainly not children that are told that we can leave, you know, we can do things to your body without your parents' consent. We're going to talk about this. It's a story that really sets my hair on fire.
And we're also going to talk about UFOs because a United States department updated its logo that includes some really eye-opening iconography, among other things, and some reports specifically around, you know, the UAPs, UFO investigation phenomenon, the reverse engineering of craft. So we are going to talk UFOs, government involvement in this. This is a safe place. No one will ridicule you for having an open mind. Welcome in as Redacted starts right now. In our chat just says he saw a UFO last weekend.
Oh yeah,
welcome Eric, welcome. Last night my son and I, we got the telescope out, the massive Orion telescope, the big boy, and we were looking at Jupiter because Jupiter was at its closest point and will be at its closest point in 100 years to Earth last night.
So, and we were able to see some of the moons. Yeah, that was very exciting. Oh,
that's crazy. While you were looking at Jupiter, I was looking at Uranus.
Ah,
we walked into that one.
No, don't walk into it. and don't touch it.
Yeah, don't walk into that.
And don't touch it. Hey, welcome into Redacted on this Tuesday. So glad to have all of you here. Please subscribe to the channel. And at the beginning, I should mention, please just smash that like button. I know many of you do it, but it really helps us to push us further out into the algorithm because, you know, YouTube likes to censor and block this type of content. So please, when you do that, it actually pushes us out to people that might have missed the show. So it really, really helps. It's not just a vanity thing. It really actually helps in the algorithm. So thank you, thank you, thank you. You want to tell them about the newsletter?
Sure. We have a newsletter. A lot of these stories from today's show will be in that newsletter, plus a whole lot more. It's free. You can sign up at redacted.inc. That is also where we host our community that takes place off of social media platforms where we cannot control what we are and are not allowed to say. In the newsletter, we say lots of things that maybe we couldn't say on a broadcast platform, and that's very liberating. It's, you know, it's informative. It's a bit fun, I like to say. Mm-hmm. And it's written by the both of us. So please subscribe. It's free. Costs you nothing.
Yeah, redacted.inc, not .com.inc. All right, let's get to our big story, which is something big is about to happen in Ukraine, guys. We know it's about to happen because, well, you know, I mean, history teaches us things, right? And when you have a massive mobilization of forces on the Russian side, things are going to happen. When you have a referendum that just wrapped up in the Donbas, where we actually have results now, things are going to happen.
Well, let's get to those results so you have some context. Now, you know, over the last 4 days, there's been a referendum of these regions in Ukraine, the Donbas area, voting whether or not they want to join Russia. Now we can bring you the news that the early polling shows that those regions absolutely did vote to rejoin Russia, which means that within the coming hours, Russia could decide that its borders are moved further south. Those places now belong to Moscow, and they will then defend them as such.
Wyatt Reed.
And the propaganda machine, I just wanted to say, has already started, too, because they're already saying that the Putin's forcing this, that it's, you know, not legit, like he's interfering in the election. He's forcing people.
Right. We have not. It has been really hard to find images of these people who are willingly walking themselves to the polls and, you know, happily submitting their ballots and coming out in exit polls. Those things have not been shown to us.
Yeah. Well, first of all, let's be clear. Western media is not going to show you that. The Western media is not going to show you the coverage that we've brought you here on this show, the coverage of Vanessa Beely and Eva Bartlett and Wyatt Reed and other journalists and Patrick Lancaster who have been there, boots on the ground, covering the polling. And there's been no force. There's been nobody forcing anyone to vote at all. They can walk into polling places and vote. These journalists have been following around these individuals as they hand out ballots, and they've been able to vote on their own without any force at all.
Well, in fact, there was intimidation by the Ukrainian government. They were threatened if they did vote. If this vote went another way and Ukraine absolutely did take back those places, these people would be punished, or so said the Ukrainian government.
They also bombed polling places. Let's be very clear. The Ukrainians did, in fact, do that. So we have the confirmation of that, and we actually have the weapons and the scraps of American weapons that they used to do this. So, again, you can dive into it. It's very easy to find this. But we should point out, I want to pull up Wyatt Reed's post here. I don't know. I'm skipping ahead a little bit because we kind of went out of order, but that's fine. Wyatt Reed put up a post just a short time ago, and he spoke to a DPR official who confirmed to him that Russia is likely to elevate its special military operation to an anti-terrorist operation. So, guys, this is about to happen. It's an anti-terrorist operation following the results of the referendum for Russian realignment, and may even declare the Kiev regime a terrorist state if it launches attacks on the regions. So this moves now from a special military operation against these four regions to, provide safety and security and liberation, but now it moves to an anti-terrorist operation. Now just think about that for a second. Think about how the United States has launched a global war on terror. It's like an open-ended, never-ending. And if Ukraine wants to play this and they want to attack these areas now, that they will officially become part of Russia, it is game over for them. It is absolutely game over. So let's go back a little bit because some major developments happened in apart from just the referendums today, but we actually saw U.S. and Russian warships Russian warships and Chinese warships spotted off the coast of Alaska, working together. spotted by Coast Guard off the Alaska overnight and into this morning. And also speaking on this, Russia's Sergei Lavrov telling the United Nations also that the U.S. is directly involved in this war. Make no mistake about it, they are directly involved in this war. We saw CIA leaked documents yesterday that are showing precise, pinpoint precision where Russian forces are located, what boxes they are unloading from trucks, what munitions they have that they're moving around, and they're giving this directly to the Ukrainian military. The Ukrainian military is in working in lockstep with NATO forces, launching HIMARS attacks on these targets. Sergei Lavrov saying this: "The United States is by no means neutral in this situation and is a party to the conflict," Michael Tracy points out. Lavrov said, "If anyone has an interpretation of this other than setting the groundwork for the purported legality of a strike against the United States, I'm all ears." Think about that. United States is by no means neutral and is a party to conflict, Sergei Lavrov said. If anyone has an interpretation of this other than setting the groundwork for the purported legality of a strike against the United States, I'm all ears. He goes on to say, as could have been surmised, Sergei Lavrov also says the newly annexed Ukraine territories will be unquestionably under the full protection of the state of Russia and all of the laws, doctrines, concepts, and strategies of the Russian Federation, which presumably includes the nuclear doctrine.
Yeah. I mean, you wonder how fast you can move on this to actually sort of absorb a whole territory into your nation state.
I asked Eva Bartlett that question.
Well, for years now, the people in that region who do most of the mining of resources that is sent to Kiev, most of their money, most of their resources, and they get very little in return, or at least that is most of the sentiment if you read history of this region. So, you know, will they now start to get resources that they need for the people who live there beyond yes. protection, right? Protection is, of course, paramount. But other things, school, funding, you know, ID documents,
water,
all of these things.
Electricity, yes.
Yes.
And we've already seen this in certain areas where, of course, we saw it in Mariupol, where they came in with cement trucks and building equipment and started with a convoy of semi-trucks rolled in and started building apartment complexes. So the voters, I've watched a number of these voters who voted in the referendums speaking out saying, maybe finally I'll get electricity.
Right.
Maybe finally I'll get infrastructure. Maybe finally I'll have schooling again. Like, yes. So prepare. I mean, who knows? It could be awful, right? We don't know, right? You know, again,
yeah.
But it could be exactly what these people voted for, which is an overwhelming support. I asked Eva Bartlett that question. How quickly can they assume this infrastructure? How quickly can they roll them into Mother Russia? And she said, well, just look at Crimea. Happened very fast, very, very fast. So again, they have a history of this. And they know how to roll these communities in for better or for worse. Here they go.
Now, as we are broadcasting right now, the United Nations Security Council is meeting to discuss this referendum in Ukraine, and mostly Western leaders, although some Eastern. There was a representative from Mexico, one right now speaking from the UAE. We obviously cannot watch that at the same time we are broadcasting to you. So we will wait to see what the official reaction from the West and other non-Western countries as well is on this. But we kind of already know,
right,
based on what they've been telling us before voting even started. They told us that they didn't think it was legitimate. They were not prepared to recognize it. We'll see, though, because this is not like other Russian separatist areas, such as the one we discussed recently in, not Romania, the
Armenia.
No, you guys, I'm so sorry. We discussed recently, of course, Crimea. We've been discussing
Well, think about it.
Okay.
We'll come back to that. A few other big points we want to cover. Number one, over the past 48 hours, there have been almost no videos and no reports coming from the Ukrainian side. It's very mysterious, actually, from military journalists covering this. It's been silence. Like, what the hell is going on? Nothing. Nothing. We've been seeing video all along. We have. Now we don't. We don't see anything. No birds chirping. Nothing. And when I say birds chirping, I'm being metaphorical here. So something is happening. The second point I want to make is the massing of forces along the Ukrainian border. Again, this massive mobilization unfolding today. You can see all up and down the 1,000-kilometer border, This is just to, this is, and again, these are reservists. A lot of reservists who are coming and being called up, the 300,000 reservists. And I'm going to show you some of the military convoy trucks, the airport, the large, the heavy weapons, the heavy bombers, all arriving and ready to go. Guys, pay attention to what's happening here. Like, this is going to be massive. So if there are attacks, prepare for hell to be unleashed on this area. And again, it's going to be all eyes on what the hell NATO does in response. Do they bluff or do they elevate?
Thank you, chat room. It was Moldova. We did that piece just 2 weeks ago. And again, they do have a Russian separatist region, but is not connected directly to the heartland. And so, you know, what Russia will be able to defend this area so much better because it's just right there, right? These logistics absolutely matter.
So a couple more areas I want to show you as well. So this is Sevastopol. This is after this afternoon. I'm going to play this. This is them getting ready and getting ready to mobilize. Watch. So again, we see these areas all over the place, this mobilization happening, 300,000 reservists being called up to join the already 200. This is a very important point. So again, here is the propaganda that you're being spoon-fed. 300,000 reservists being called up to join, and they're going to go through training again, refresher. It's like the American reserves. It's the same thing. We saw this in Afghanistan and Iraq with the U.S. Marines. We had to call up reserves. We had to, the forces were so depleted, they had to call up reserves. And the reserves are already active military. They just, they what do they go once a month, I guess? I've known some reservists, but they go like once a month for training. So what they'll be doing is training in preparation for this. These are not like random people off the street. These are people who are actively, who had already been a part of the military. And the way that the Western media... Go ahead.
I was just going to say, those forces are supposed to be reserved for things that might happen in the United States, like a hurricane or something like that. So now our resources are going to be spread thin because we're sending people over there.
Well, no, I was referring to Afghanistan and Iraq. Like, this has happened back in 2006. We don't know how many forces are totally in this area, but 2006, we did the same thing, is my point. It's like, we called up reservists. Like, this happens. Like, you have members of the military who've gone through basic training before. They've gone through the training. They're just not there every day. You know, they're sort of, they call them like weekend warriors, I guess. You know? Anyway, these are people who are members of the military. They are reservists, but it hasn't stopped the Western media from saying that Putin has initiated a massive draft. Okay, they're just pulling people off the street. It's a massive draft, they're calling
it. In fact, I saw some sort of ignorant, gloating headlines yesterday when it was announced that that Edward Snowden would get a Russian passport and citizenship. Some people were saying, I hope he doesn't get drafted.
He's going to get drafted now that he's a citizen.
Ridiculous.
He's a fighting age. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, just look at how the Western media is spinning this. This is NBC News. It's propaganda right on their screen calling it a draft and using old footage, by the way, in this little compilation to make it look like people are being attacked. Watch this.
Triggered by Russian President Vladimir Putin's decision to force hundreds of thousands of ordinary Russians to the front lines.
You know, like, look at that draft, the war over the draft, and they're pulling out. I mean, it's crazy, the propaganda. Here's Lester Holt from NBC. Watch this.
Turn out of Russia and the growing backlash to Russian President Vladimir Putin's order to draft 300,000 more troops to fight in Ukraine.
And look at the imagery, right? They show like people being carted off. They show hundreds of cars like going for the border, like all of this imagery. And so we'll see. Like, we will see. I asked Scott Ritter about this very question, former UN weapons inspector, and I said, so how will, I talked to him the other day, I said, how will this play out, these 300,000? Are they going right to the front line? And he said, no, here's exactly how it will unfold. Those 300,000 will be support forces. So think about it, they have 200,000 right now for the special military operation, and they have a back section of the front, right? Not up on the front, about 60,000 are currently fighting on the front lines. And 140 are back, and they're supporting areas like Belgrade and Kursk, and to make sure that that area doesn't get invaded inside Mother Russia. So those support forces have been back. Now, that 140 support forces that are sharp as attack but have been off the battlefield will now go to the front, and the 300,000 will now relieve them in the back. and that's support. Mm-hmm. And they'll be brought up to speed. So 500,000, 200,000 of which are ready to go and are battle ready and are, you know, sharp as a tack with a rifle and are, you know, highly trained, are now going to be going to the front.
This is really terrifying, though.
Well, yeah. Well, it is terrifying, but it's here's what's happening.
It's still, you can't talk about this without thinking these are people's family members.
No, of course.
We cannot remove ourselves
war is ugly.
From this.
War is ugly. War is awful. Like, this is the point, right? And for 8 years, a region has been attacked and there's been genocide against the people who are just wanting to live their lives, right? At the heart of all of this is we want peace, right? Peace that a peace agreement that has been stepped on by the West.
Yes.
Fly Boris Johnson in from the UK and kill it twice when there's peace in the, you know, in the wings.
Right.
And I apologize. I misunderstood. I thought you said that Ukraine was sending in reservists and they were sending in U.S. reservists. That's what
I don't know. Yeah. No, I was just using it as an example from 2006. So
no, gotcha, but gotcha. We are giving reserved funds. Congress has already approved another $12 billion from the United States to be sent abroad. And over the weekend, Vladimir Putin admitted that the United States is currently sending $1.5 billion every month, like a direct deposit, even though Ukraine is operating at a $5 billion loss. That's already committed.
What are they spending this money on?
War is expensive, I assume. It's interesting
because
it's
like... they're getting the weapons free. They're getting the ammunition free. Like, what are they... You know what I mean? Like, we're sending them all of that stuff and the money.
Well, because there's no accounting of it, right? It's just literally, and Zelensky admitted yesterday that the United States is sending on a regular schedule now upwards of about $1.8 billion per month, like on auto deposit. So it's just automatically going there.
Yeah.
Automatically going there. Now, like, we're going to see Florida with a natural disaster. Obviously, Hurricane Ian is bearing down Category 3 on its way to Florida right now. We saw the people of Puerto Rico, of course, underwater dealing with that catastrophe. It's like, you know, where are the priorities from the United States right now?
Right.
Where are the priorities from NATO, which we'll get to right now? Because a few hours ago, something unbelievable happened. Something mysterious at first seemed to be unfolding in the Baltic Sea. Was it an accident? Russia's Nord Stream 1 and Nord Stream 2 pipeline, which is set to deliver natural gas to Germany, suddenly began leaking, or did it? And then Danish authorities say it was destroyed. Holy shit. What? Nord Stream 1, Nord Stream 2, pipelines that deliver natural gas to Europe, to Germany.
I mean, this is the pipeline. We've been discussing this for months. This is the pipeline that's keeping affordable energy in all of Europe, that Europe has been freaking out and saying to Russia, please do not turn this off. We want to have a fight with you, but you need to keep the resources coming. So now there is a major leak, and seismologists are saying there was some disruptive event that they did not think was natural. Like, it wasn't attributable to an earthquake or some kind of other natural event.
And it happened simultaneously. So this is how German journalists this afternoon say the attack happened at the same time. Watch this as breaking news on Bloomberg, how this unfolded. Watch.
What do we know and what don't we know about the Nord Stream 1 and Nord Stream 2 damage?
Yeah, so we know that things happened almost simultaneously. So we saw pressure dropping in both Nord Stream and Nord Stream 2 pipelines, and Nord Stream operators
simultaneously
said that actually there is no clue. They cannot say. It's impossible to say when flows can resume.
Yeah, because they're destroyed. They are destroyed. Just to paint some a picture for you, I've spent most of my afternoon knee deep in like natural gas physics, which is not how I thought I would spend my afternoon.
I can make a fart joke about your being in natural gas, but
it's taco night. It's taco night. So Swedish authorities this afternoon said they saw explosions coming from the pipeline, and they released this video. This is from Swedish authorities. Look at this. So just take a look at this screen here. This is under the dark of night. Okay. This is using FLIR technology or whatever, nighttime. So this was happening as we were waking up overnight, you know, and they're going to get some different images here. They call it like the Great Eye, because we saw something similar to this. Look at the bubbling pouring out, right? Now, think about how many hundreds of square kilometers of wildlife and just absolute catastrophe that this is causing now. We saw something similar to this in the Gulf of Mexico, where it also then caught on fire. So they had all sorts of fire trucks that were literally water fire trucks. They're pouring as much water as they could to try to contain it. Fortunately, this one's not on fire. But nevertheless, this is what's happening right now. Unbelievable. Pipelines exploding. The Polish government is actively, here's what's so stunning to me, is that this afternoon, just a short time ago before we came on the air, the Polish government actively thanking the United States for attacking this pipeline. Here is the top Polish member of the European Parliament thanking the USA for this attack. Thank you, USA.
Oh, you just froze millions of people to death for this winter. You just sentenced millions to not being able to heat their homes. Thank you. We're so glad. Now we'll learn to chop wood, right?
Can you believe this?
Or something.
No, and you can't even chop wood in Germany because they're making sure that you're going to pay, you know, they're sanctioning you can't chop wood. And he goes on to say, again, this is Radosław Sikorski. He's the member of European Parliament from Poland. And he says, this in Polish. He says, but then as we say in Polish, a small thing, but so much joy. He's literally gleeful about the destruction of a natural gas pipeline to Germany.
Also, he is no friend of sea creatures, clearly.
Right. I mean, so just to give you some physics behind this, the pressure dropped, and according to the Berliner Zeitung this afternoon, pressure dropped now in not only just in Nord Stream 2, it also happened in Nord Stream 1. This was no accident, clearly. I talked to ex-CIA analyst Larry Johnson earlier today. He said, barring that it's being an accident, clearly this was sabotage, clearly. And so does German newspapers and German press believe it was sabotage as well. And so do German authorities. Here's the Berliner Zeitung. Just a few hours after the gas leak on the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, Nord Stream 1 now also reports massive problems. Both tubes are affected. The leak was noticed for the first time on Monday night. And according to the Nord Stream 2 operators, the pressure dropped, listen to this, from 105 bars to just 7. That is impossible. That is clearly, they say, a sign of sabotage. Because according to pipeline experts, a drop in pressure to 7 bars literally means that it's filled with seawater. Like, there's not like a little leak and those little bubbles coming up.
Now, before the West tells us that Russia did this in order to, you know, turn off the gas, you can remember that they have the spigot. They could just turn it off. If they wanted to do that, right? First of all, they built it. Second of all, this does cost them money. And third of all, they could have just turned it off. They didn't need to destroy anything.
Right. Again, and why would they? It makes zero sense.
No, it doesn't.
They spent billions of dollars, Russia did, to build this pipeline. Why in the world? And they, by the way, had that Nord Stream 2 pipeline filled with natural gas and ready to deliver to Germany. All they were waiting on was Olaf Scholz to give the go-ahead. That's it. But of course, under the pressure of the United States, they didn't flip it on. It never started flowing. And I said right here on this show, the moment that the Nord Stream 2 pipeline starts flowing to Germany, war over. Like, Europe is done. Europe has said enough is enough. And now the opposite has happened. They've blown the freaking thing up. Like, did you think you'd wake up this morning and literally hear that these major pipelines to Europe, for all of these people for this winter, would be blown up by the United States?
I did see some discussion, and I have not been able to verify this because this is such a breaking story, that, oh, this could be down for at least a few days.
And no
way. I was
way.
Like, a few days?
No way.
Okay. What is that? Miracle tape? Is that what we're going to use?
Yeah. Get, what's his name? Yeah. The guy that does in the boat. He's like, I'm Billy May with Miracle.
The spray foam that patches up a boat. We'll see. Now is the time to prove yourself.
You can hold bricks with it and fix a pipeline.
I was reading up on this also today. And like, just kind of like along with what you were saying, this pipeline was never turned on the German side. So it was just like, it was basically like, it was full of gas just because Russia was ready for them to turn it on. They never did. So it shut off on both ends. So the pipe was just like, it's just the pressure that was in there from it being filled and ready. But like, it both ends are shut off. There'd be no reason to destroy this pipeline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so
it doesn't make any sense.
Again, they were all sitting there waiting. And the German people, of course, are in for a dire winter now. And of course, again, German authorities say it was sabotage. And according to multiple German newspapers, they say it was a targeted attack. Of course, the early report says, oh, it must have come from Ukraine or it came from Russia. Like Russia attacked its own pipeline.
That it was not using yet to serve gas.
Total garbage. You can throw that propaganda right out the window. And by the way, if Ukraine attacked it, it was directed entirely by the United States. It was absolutely directed by the United States. So you have Poland thanking the United States for attacking a pipeline. German people, by the way, over the past few days, thousands of Germans, which has been kept out of the mainstream media because they don't want you to see that there's discontent in Germany, have been taking to the streets, and they were demanding the launch of the Nord Stream 2. This was German protests just over the past 24 hours saying, turn this thing on. We are going to be freezing. This was Germany over the past few days.
Looks to me like they're already freezing based on these photos.
Yeah, I mean, the photos in this press brief. I mean, yeah.
It is about to get much colder.
But I want to come back to the biggest point of all of this is that what President Biden said specifically back in February on the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, when asked specifically by a German reporter, I want you to listen to what he says about it not being turned on and how the United States would make sure that the Nord Stream 2 pipeline does not happen. Watch.
Let me answer the first question first. If Germany, if Russia invades, that means tanks or troops crossing the border of Ukraine again. Then there will be no longer a Nord Stream 2. We will bring an end to it.
We will bring an end to it.
But how will you do that exactly, since the project? And control of the project is within Germany's control.
We will, I promise you, we'll be able to do it.
Okay.
If Russia invades, he says, there will be no longer a Nord Stream 2. We will bring an end to it. The reporter says, but how will you do that exactly, since the project is in Germany's control? I promise you, we will be able to do that. We know the Western media is going to try to push that this is Russian sabotage. This makes zero sense. It costs Russia billions of dollars to build this pipeline. That would be like the United States blowing up its own transcontinental railroad. Mm-hmm. Like for what? For like a PR move? You think they're going to do this? That's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. And of course, this is all part of the plan to crush Europe. Yes,
we have discussed this, right?
And you're seeing it right now. Look at the U.S. liquefied natural gas exports over the past year. This is just from the past year. The amount has doubled. The amount has doubled now from the United States. Of course, United States stands to do this. Many German politicians have been urging the Bundestag to change its position on this and start using the pipeline, which is now destroyed. And it has an annual capacity of 55 billion cubic meters. It's right. It's a direct pipeline right there, right to Germany. No, instead, we're going to import it now from the United States. So you have to ask yourself the question in these situations, who does this benefit the most? The U.S. is the number one country that benefits from a destroyed Nord Stream pipeline.
Right. And a weakened Europe.
Yes.
Absolutely. Right.
And a destructive Europe. I mean, think about we played the Rand Corporation. We showed you the leaked Rand Corporation documents last week on this show. If you watched, hopefully you saw that show where we talked about it.
If not, you can search it.
Yes, please go and search it. Well, the Rand Report specifically showed, it was titled, the Rand Report was called Weakening Germany, Strengthening the U.S., with the ultimate goal of being the infusion of cash into the banking system by Europe and NATO, and also specifically talks about the greatest obstacle to achieving this goal of power for the United States and Western hegemony is Germany. Specifically, they talk about its dependence on Russian gas. If we could somehow eliminate that piece of it, I guess, then we could position the United States more strongly. And they're getting their wish because now the British pound has collapsed against the U.S. dollar. The euro has collapsed against the U.S. dollar. The United States is looking, I guess, you know, United States dollar stronger again as a result of this.
Right. And they're happily sort of ignoring these grassroots protests all throughout Europe with people saying, we don't want to align with these Western priorities any longer. But it almost doesn't seem to matter. And European politicians continue, for whatever reason, to just step in lockstep to collapse their own economies for priorities that do not have much to do with Western nations. It's very perplexing. Beyond just, you just wonder, like, what do they have on you? Why are they making you do this to act outside of your own interest?
Well, we should ask the same question about Serbia, right? So,
yes,
big moves from Serbia, a story, of course, we've been following here on the show. And again, this has been an interesting, we've been following what Serbia has been doing as it relates to the European Union, as it relates to Russia. But now they're pissing off the EU.
Well, yes, the story goes that Serbia and Russia recently signed what they call a cooperative agreement, or what is the
cooperation
agreement, which was something that was already planned. It basically was sort of a protocol that was already in the books before anything happened. But now the United Nations and the European Union, and specifically the United States, say they have serious questions about this. They want an answer of why this happened. And the ambassador to Serbia, Christopher Hill, the United States ambassador, said, no one should be signing anything with Russia right now. So it really doesn't even matter what it is, how benign, nothing. Now, we've talked many times about how Serbia is dependent on Russian gas and does not have an appetite for sanctioning Russia in order to turn energy exports off in, or energy imports off into their country. They seem to realize that providing their people with affordable energy is a direct way to prosperity. And all sorts of like really desirable markers come out of prosperity, like increased health, increased GDP, increased education, right? So they do not want to get involved in this war. But Prime Minister Vucic has said many times, this is really tricky because we don't want to blow up our relationship with the European Union. We have so many businesses, so many people who live here and sort of straddle both worlds. They need easy access to both Serbia and the European Union. But they really are not, to use an expression that my sister uses, they're not feeling it.
Well, also, the reason the United Nations is pissed, the United States included in really driving a lot of this narrative with NATO against Serbia is, you know, Serbia and Russia signed this agreement, like, in outside of the UN General Assembly. Like, they did it kind of like in a side room, basically. There's Sergei Lavrov. And there is the Serbian ambassador, Nikola Selaković. And they, the plan of consultations with their Russian counterpart. So signing this agreement, shaking hands, the European Union saying, we want to know, like, why, we have serious questions. Like, how did you put this together when we're having UN meetings and you didn't consult with the EU? Like, this is a clear sign that you're not going to become a part of the European Union after this.
Right. We told you not to do this. And so we don't know why you're doing this. We really don't.
I don't understand, though. Again, we saw this in Italy, of course, with the election over the past 24 hours, where you have a prime minister, you have a president saying that I am going to stand up for my people. I'm going to support my people. I'm going to create, in the case of Serbia, I'm going to iron out gas contracts with Russia to take care of my own people during the winter. And we have a hard time with that.
Yeah, I mean, we have no problem making other people's business our business. And even if it, you know, it's like you can't put your own country first, no matter what. Christopher Hill, the U.S. ambassador to Serbia, released a statement saying, you know, on the issue right now, we have to remember we are facing a war of aggression by Russia. And basically, we all have to now, like, it's basically like, look, this ambassador is living in Serbia and he's telling them what to do. This is what the United States wants you to do. Stop doing these things. Don't be seen talking to them. Don't be seen signing anything to them. Don't be seen buying their oil, right? It's like they're really putting out these strongly worded statements saying, I told you not to do this, even though the ambassador is in a country sort of as a guest, right? But telling them comfortably what to do.
Well, we saw the European Union. Of course, we saw Ursula von der Leyen coming out with her statements over the past few days saying that, you know, if Italians vote a certain way, we have certain tools at our disposal to make sure that we will force you one way or the other, Italy, the same way that we did with Hungary, the same way that we did with Poland. Now we're even though you're not a member of the EU, you want to be a member of the EU, don't you, Serbia? So you're going to fall in lockstep with us on ESG regulations, on Russian sanctions. You're going to do all of those things. Here are some tweets I saw this afternoon on this question. Tony Samuel says, Serbs, this is shameful. Slapping, being say, hey, don't make this agreement with Putin. Don't make this agreement with Russia. Pete, the northern lad, says, Serbs, you'll never get, you'll never get in or allowed into the European Union after this.
Here's They're not going to be able to download Spark email app now.
Here's Pia Klemnensen. Serbia is showing that they don't want to join the EU.
Well, I think it's more nuanced than that. I think that if they had their druthers, they would sort of put up a middle finger and say, I'm not playing politics this way. I don't want what's happening to the Maldives or Poland or any, you know, I don't want that. But I don't feel like they really feel like they have the freedom to make that choice at this point, because they realize that where they are located geographically means that they still have to play nice with their neighbors.
How many Serbs do we have watching us tonight? Let us know your thoughts on this. You know, I'd love to hear your thoughts on where do you stand on this. I mean, of course, we also, on the one hand, heard from, as you mentioned, the president of Serbia saying, hey, we don't support these referendums. Also, the Serbian government will not recognize. We will not recognize Donetsk, Luhansk, Kherson, and Zaporizhia regions. We will not recognize them as independent and part of Russia.
But of course, they have a reason to feel that way, right? Even though they are friendly with Russian President Putin, they also have Kosovo, and they don't want. You can't have it both ways. You can't say this region does not have the right to vote to be separate because it's ours, but then that can happen in Ukraine, right? So they have to either believe that it's possible or it's not. So they have said that they are against the referendum in the Donbas.
Well, let us know your thoughts on this. We've got more news to get to on the show. We're going to talk about trans rights for children and what is happening behind the backs of parents. We're also going to talk about UFOs in Washington, D.C. and the moves by the federal government on the UFO question. But first, I want to tell you about our friends over at Scoremaster, because if you've got your, you know, credit report that's in the toilet right now, well, I'm going to tell you about the 3-week rule, which may be the best financial advice ever. What's the 3-week rule? Wait 3 weeks to buy that new car. Wait 3 weeks to refi your home mortgage. Wait 3 weeks to finance any major purchase. Why 3 weeks? Because that's how fast the average Scoremaster user takes to boost his or her credit score, an average of 61 points. And listen, 61 points added to your credit score can save you tens of thousands of dollars on everything that we finance in your life. So Scoremaster technology was developed by credit data scientists to boost your credit score higher, faster than you thought possible. Scoremaster is so easy, it takes about 1 minute, that's it, to get you started. You don't have to wait months for your best credit score. How many points can you add to your credit score? Be sure to visit scoremaster.com/redacted for a special 7-day trial that I've got for you that we negotiated with them. That's scoremaster.com/redacted. Again, scoremaster.com/redacted. To get that special 7-day trial and see how many plus points you can add to your credit score. So our thanks to them. And thanks to all of you for subscribing to the channel. When you do subscribe, like Billy Moore just did, your name will pop up here on the big board. So all you need to do is go to youtube.com/redactednews. youtube.com/redactednews. Bruce, thank you for becoming a new channel subscriber. Welcome to Rebel Nation. You are a redacted rebel. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, we're going to have a discussion about rights and legislation around transgender issue. This is a sensitive topic, and we are going to try to be sensitive, but it is also one that I think that you can pull a thread and lead to a lot of money, specifically for pharmaceutical companies. And I think that we should do it. Now, the problem is that a lot of times when you question transgender issues, you are accused of being either transphobic or hateful. I am neither. But I do have a lot of questions. So here is the news, Peg, and then we're going to continue to talk about this. Now, a new investigation found that a transgender organization in the UK is offering to send breast binders to children without their parents' permission. This is an organization called Mermaids. It is a charity that promotes trans equality, according to its website. Now, this organization works with public schools. They send people into the public schools, right? And they also train teachers. It's taxpayer funded. So we absolutely have the right to take a look at this. I am not a UK taxpayer, but anything that's state funded, right, we should definitely look at. So let's back up a little bit. What is a breast binder? It is a garment that helps smooth down the breasts of a biological female. Here's an example of one that I found on Amazon. I'm very curious that it talks about this breast binder will make you be free. Can you see the contradiction there, that you're binding something, but then that makes you free? These are popular with transgender males who want to stop their body from showing the mammaries that their bodies are trying to grow, right? Now, in light of this investigation, we're going to talk about transgender issues. And of course, I'm going to tread lightly because I do believe that gender dysphoria exists, right? The belief that, like, you identify as a different gender. I also believe, though, that there is a very dangerous cancel culture around it that will harm children if we don't try to discuss it. The problem is that people who feel hesitant about such things like pharmaceuticals and body binding are called hateful. I am not hateful. But as a parent, I find this troubling to think about taking a healthy body and doing and making the calculations that this is the right thing to do. So let's discuss that. Okay, so we're going to talk about mermaids. Here is their website. You can see from their homepage, they are a trans rights group and they do advocacy in schools. According to the Telegraph, they've received over £20,000 in taxpayer money from grants and more than £500,000 from the National Lottery. So the question is, do these organizations push children into choices that they may not make otherwise? And do they push children into dangerous practices such as pharmaceuticals and body binding? Is there social harm here that we're not discussing because we want to be inclusive and tolerant? I think that is a shared goal that we all have here. And again, I'm trying to be inclusive and tolerant. But even Mermaids admits that breast binders can be harmful. How can they not be, right? You're binding off a part of your body where your internal organs are housed. Plus, your spine is a really important part of your overall health. A study of binder use in adults found that 97% of users had health problems that they attributed to wearing these. But the study was only done in adults because no researcher thinks it's ethical to do this on children. So just think about that for a second. Researchers won't study it.
Right.
But Mermaids still thinks it's okay to do this on children.
97% of them had health issues when they wear these.
Yes.
97. Oh, well, 3%.
So breathing problems, spinal issues.
So you're telling me there's
issues,
a chance that I won't have a problem.
Yes. Now, in the statement that they said about this, that they released about this investigation, they said this about binding, that some trans masculine, non-binary and gender diverse people experience body dysphoria as a result of their chest, and binding for some helps alleviate the distress. Mermaids takes a harm reduction position with the understanding that providing a young person with a binder and comprehensive safety guidelines, which tell them that you can't wear it for more than 8 hours a day, you can't wear it when it's hot, you shouldn't wear black because you will overheat, all of these, you shouldn't do any sports in it, right? Because they know that it's dangerous. They're saying these, along with these guidelines, is preferable to the alternative of unsafe practices and or continued or increased dysphoria. The risk is considered by Mermaid staff within the context of our safeguarding framework, and then more can be fined here. Now, those are the... So they're making a calculation, right?
This is a business is making a calculation.
It's an advocacy group, right? But they still absolutely make money.
And this is what they're
advocating
for. They make money through donations and everything else.
Right.
Right.
And so my question is, just like the COVID vaccines, what is the risk to benefit calculation being done here? So you're saying that doing this to a child will alleviate their stress and be better than X. So then what is that? I feel like if this is going to be happening, go ahead. Yeah.
Philip.
Oh, I was just gonna say, in reading that, it says their staff concludes that
yes, this
is safe and it's right. Who are these people?
And like, by the way,
they're obviously not doing medical research,
right? Because they just admitted they didn't do a study.
People?
They didn't do a study on children,
yeah.
Right? So it's just our staff here at Mermaids has decided that the benefit of putting children in these binders is better.
And they say that they do it on a case by case basis, but they're really, are they trained people who are making this case? And because
Because this named Dale that's on staff is just
as the producer, yeah, as the producer of this show, I've just decided I'm going to end it now. So you guys, see you tomorrow.
Yeah,
I don't get that joke.
He's going to shut the show down.
Because?
Never mind.
Okay.
But anyway, the point is that they're not like medical professionals. They're not, you know.
Right.
They're not doing this study. They're not studying it on children. They've admitted they're not studying it on children.
Well, so it's not. They did not do the breast binder study that found 97% of health problems. That was done by somebody else.
Right.
They will not do a study. And again, my question in here is, okay, you surmise that this is a risk benefit that is favorable in favor of binding for some people, but what is that risk? What is the calculation? What is the proportion, right? The problem here is many, but the Telegraph used Mermaid's online service and posed as a teenager. They told the organization repeatedly that they were a 14-year-old biological female that wanted to present as a male and that their parents would not allow them to use a breast binder. So what did Mermaid's do is offer to mail the breast binder to an anonymous address and name or to a friend's house so that the parents wouldn't know.
Jesus,
like, hey,
really?
We'll get you this.
Oh my God.
Even though they said my mom, because this is in the UK, my mom won't allow it. And after saying that many times, they said, it's okay. We're going to get it to you.
People should be thrown in jail.
So is this how a state-funded organization should behave, or any organization? Is there ever a case for doing this behind parents' back? Now, some people do make this case, saying this child will suffer if their parents stop them from this. We're going to talk more about that later. Now, Mermaids did release a statement and said that, yes, we caught this person that was a journalist and we blocked them. Here's their statement. Is that, you know, someone did.
So we won't engage them in a dialogue. We'll just block them.
Right. Is that this person did pose possibly a journalist as a 14-year-old in need of support, seemingly with the aim of discrediting Mermaids. The person was caught in the moderation process and since been blocked. So basically, you're safe now on these platforms. The journalist is not there. They didn't say they didn't do it. They did not say that they didn't offer this person.
So they didn't deny it.
They did not deny it. The Telegraph also reports that they were shown chats from children who were actually 13, as young as 13, that were given advice on puberty blockers. And the children were told that these are totally reversible. Now, this is a major debate that you see raging online. So what is puberty blockers? This is a pharmaceutical that stops a preteen from going through transition into adulthood. They have never been approved for use for gender dysphoria, period. They were only approved for precocious puberty, which is like your four-year-old has a beard, and some treatments of hormone-dependent cancers. They are, in fact, being used to treat transgender children without FDA approval. And some say there's no standard of care. They're kind of used like a cosmetic, like you put on more blush or less blush, depending on how this child's body is responding to them. Please go ahead, David.
I was just going to say they are also used for castration of prisoners that are pedophiles. I won't say that word.
Yes,
they are.
Yeah,
that is true.
Yeah.
And there you should look up the legislation, the litigation around these companies, because a lot of people who took them and had a lot of contraindicated results feel like they were not properly warned about them. Now, the big point of contention is this reversible? Research has, because the people who promote them say it's just like putting a pause on your puberty. If you feel like your body is turning into something that you don't want it to be, you can put a pause on it. And then if you decide, you can come back to it later and you just pick up where you left off. Now, there's not really research on this because nobody will account for how many kids are on puberty blockers. They just won't. Research has shown that for trans women, one downside of a puberty blocker is that it keeps the genitals child size. So then when they want to later, you know, maybe they want to do something with those genitals, there's not enough skin there, so they have to take from other places. And advocates are saying that, you know, again, you can just sort of pick up your normal puberty where you may have had it at 12. Now you're just going to have it at 16. Again, that's not completely true. Your body doesn't just pick up where you left off. You may not, for instance, you may not grow as tall as you would have others. Puberty blockers.
Your voice may not be as deep or.
Right. They have been shown to stop calcium being laid down in your bones. So you've lost at least 4 years of that you may have had as an advantage. And studies suggest a drop in IQ. And so how are you going to pick that up, right? Because puberty is meant to mature the brain, not just the body.
Right.
And they also stop a child from feeling natural sexual urges, which happens during puberty. So you're stunting someone's sexuality as well.
Andrew Johnson in our chat says, this is just like, you know, Third Reich level experiments. Yeah, look, you know, we in the United States practiced all sorts of horrible things on people and said it was sponsored by the state. You know, like, oh yeah, what about eugenics?
Right, and it's extremely dangerous to talk about this because you will be accused of saying you don't support people's gender dysphoria. Absolutely, we are not saying that. We're saying we do not support Big Pharma pushing this on people who it may hurt.
Yeah, and parents not being known about it or told about it and going behind their backs about it. When a kid is like 13 and feels like, well, maybe I want to, whatever. You're going through puberty. You don't know. And so just, can you wait till adulthood? I mean, look.
Yeah, okay, please, well, David,
that's been my argument. I wish that they would set an age to where it's accepted because, yeah, that is a thing, but it's like I went through so many stages, and the analogy that I always use is I'm glad that when I thought I was Spider-Man, my parents didn't, like, fill me with web juice, and I reached out to some company that said, we'll send it to you in secret, all this, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
I thought I was going to be many different things as a child, and it's like their brains aren't developed enough for them to know exactly. You know, and then you have TikTok and stuff making things cool. And,
well, I do want to talk about, let's put a pin in the social media part. But beyond just like taking someone who thinks they would otherwise be a superhero, I am concerned that we are basically taking what otherwise would be the gay community and transforming them into something else, right? Because, and I'm going to get to the data on that in a second. So about these puberty blockers, research as recently as this year has also shown that children who go on puberty blockers are highly likely to go on cross-sex hormones. That means if I decided as a 12-year-old that I am a trans man, I would have blocked my body from growing these boobs for between the ages of 12 and 15 and then started to transition to testosterone. So that means that trans boys take testosterone, trans girls take estrogen. Now, I have two concerns about this. One, those are, again, very dangerous. This is from Helen Joyce's book, Trans, the Sunday Times bestseller. She says, for trans men, they, meaning cross-sex hormones, are associated with high risks of cardiovascular problems, including high blood pressure, heart attacks, stroke, dementia, later in life, liver problems, diabetes, joint problems. Less is known about the impact on trans women, but low testosterone is known to cause fatigue, brittle bones, and high cholesterol levels in biological males, and taking estrogen is likely to rise the risk of some cancers, including breast cancer. Now, she says, even critics of gender affirmation sometimes talk as if the harms all accrue to the children who would otherwise have desisted, while the persisters reap gains, but damage to the brain and bones is bad for everyone, as is the loss of fertility and sexual pleasure. Now, what she talks about is that in the 80s and 90s, they did several studies on boys who showed gender dysphoria or more, I'm sorry, I don't know the nice way, more effeminate qualities, boys who had, there's a word for it and it escapes me.
How is that offensive?
I just want to say it in a nice way. I don't know.
More female qualities?
Boys who showed more, because that is such a loaded term, as if boys can't do things that are traditionally, let's not get distracted on them. Those boys who showed themselves to be more effeminate as young children ended up growing out of it and identifying as homosexuals. Now, a lot of those boys who we say, you're not doing boy enough things, you like princesses, you probably are a trans girl, let's give you some puberty blockers. In one study between 2000 and 2007, all of those boys progressed to cross-sex hormones, which may suggest that these were just healthy homosexual boys that were not allowed to be. For instance, in this trans book, she talks about a woman who says, I didn't want a gay son, so I decided I would have a trans daughter, right? Because I don't know why that calculation.
So like
you know,
a parent can just decide that, like, well, I don't want you to be gay.
Right.
Like, I know that's your nature. You know what I'm going to do instead? I'm going to order some drugs off the internet. I'm going to get some of these things. And I'm going to force you to do this at a young age.
So then Do puberty blockers block the physical changes of development, whereby gender dysphoria may resolve itself into a very normal gay person? Right? Are we now harming a whole generation of perfectly normal gay people? I thought we had been past that, right? So again, this is what a lot of gender transitioners, detransitioners say, people who were transitioning genders and then felt like, I don't like what this is doing, and went back to their biological gender. They say they sought help. They were told right away, no, you're trans. Here's some drugs. Here's some binders. Let's fight for your right. Right. These people, though, get silenced and bullied online in a big way. Again, like I say, gender dysphoria is very real, but the course of pharmaceuticals here goes with a lifetime of transition, right? You have to be taking these forever. It's expensive and it's a harrowing commitment. And again, a lot of it is done experimentally. So I want to talk a little bit about what's on the ballot this November, because this is an issue that is rallying people up a lot. And they think, oh, yes, I'm going to vote one way or the other. But I don't think either way that politicians are going actually is going to do anything useful. So by some estimates, each child who goes on a lifetime of hormones is worth, I think, upwards of $2 million to Big Pharma, right? Further, so there's a lot of money here for pharmaceuticals.
Of course.
Further, one thing that almost all teens and preteens with gender dysphoria have in common is internet addiction. What do they watch? Influencers who tell them how to get their T, which is testosterone, how to bind their breasts, how to threaten your parents if you don't get what you want, how to shut people out who speak their concerns to you. The influencers and big tech make a lot of money off of this, right? So these are two things that are contributing to this. Pharmaceuticals make a lot of money, and big tech. But there is no legislation on the ballot to have anything to do with that. So Republicans are absolutely not interested in this issue. Democrats are not either. So you see these two extremes. So in California, for instance, this new bill aims to turn the state into a sanctuary for trans children, meaning that minors can go there, seek transition surgery and medication, and they will not be extradited back to their families. It's a sanctuary state. That's on one hand. On the other hand, Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin has proposed new policies in his state to prevent gender transition at all. It would prevent children from using a different bathroom than the one they were assigned, the gender they were assigned at birth. They couldn't participate in sports or use a different bathroom or even change their name, even if the parents agree. So you see how these are laws that are punishing either the parent or the child, but not at all pharma or tech, right? So shouldn't then a politician say, these things are happening, I call for clinical trials. I want real data. I want an estimate of how many children are doing these things. Of all of it, of breast binders, of pharmaceuticals, of the organizations that promote. So, but nobody will do that. Or you think about big tech, like, I want to take a look at, think of all the things that get censored. Right.
Or not only censored, or how about promoted? Like, are you actively promoting this stuff to people? Are you actively pushing this to young people? So when they're on TikTok, they're seeing this kind of stuff.
Right. And so maybe they should be looking out for any content that promotes getting around your parents, or any content that promotes how to threaten self-harm, or anything that is absolutely not done. So while we let these big tech, big pharma get away with this, and then we have arguments about things that are actually not going to help.
So you can't drink, right? You're not allowed to drink until you're 21 because you could harm yourself, right?
Yeah.
We know the adverse effects of drinking, right? It can harm yourself and harm other people. You can't fight, you can't join the military, you can't fight in a war until you're what, 18 years old, right? Because can't have you training and you're learning how to use a gun and how to kill people. Right. But you could absolutely actively can be taking these pharmaceuticals, surreptitiously behind the scenes. And we're not going to do anything about it. In fact, we're going to actively promote you doing this.
Right.
Well, and that's what I was going to point out. Like with TikTok, it's like you have basically kids getting millions of views on TikTok. I won't say all of them are pretending, but a lot of them seem to be pretending to have these things, which promotes pharmaceuticals. Yet, if you're anti the pharmaceutical industry, that's misinformation.
Yes.
That's what they want to go after. But if you're pro, then it's fine. Leave it up.
Right.
Yeah.
Someone pointing out 18 to smoke. Yeah, 18. You can't smoke until you're 18. I think we have a few studies on smoking.
I think that's 21 now.
Oh, is it? Oh, yeah. I guess it depends on the state, I guess. Yeah. Okay.
Now, I absolutely think that there are also really regressive gender stereotypes at issue here. Like, you know, a child who says, I don't want to wear a dress. I want to, you know, play with a baseball instead, is told that, oh, no, boys can't do that. So that must mean you have gender dysphoria. So there is a regression of gender roles in this conversation. But I've gone on too long, and we'll have that conversation another day.
Let us know your thoughts on this story. Holy smokes. I see it's on one side of this is, oh, my God, I can't believe this. Next topic, please. Others saying this is an amazing topic. Thank you for discussing this. So, hey, we cover everything here.
I was very nervous to talk about it because I don't want to take anyone's experience and pretend that it's not real. Absolutely, it's real for a lot of people. But it's also just really, really scary that you are not allowed to talk about it. And again, all the money that is there.
Well, and also the parents and the breakdown of the family. Can we talk about the family for a second? Like, where did it come down to that you're literally being told you can't talk to your parents about it, and the parents are being kept in the dark about it? Like, you're literally destroying families over this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's disgusting, in my opinion. Let us know your thoughts on that. We've got more news to get to. In fact, let's do it right now. Let's talk about UFOs. Shall we?
All right.
So the Office of the Director of National Intelligence is out with a brand new logo, and it set the internet on fire overnight last night. It's raising a lot of questions. I'm going to put the logo up here on the screen, and let's keep it up here. You keep coming back to it, Philip, because tell me, do you notice anything odd about this new logo? This is a government logo. Do you notice anything odd about it at all? Anybody in the chat see anything odd about this logo?
Well, maybe you didn't know what it looked like before. But you might think something is notable here.
Yeah, let's take a closer. Here's a closer view of what I want to point out, which is the UFO in the lower left-hand corner right there. There you go. It's interesting about this UFO design. It's the exact design that Bob Lazar worked on at Area 51 at S4. In this, I think it's called the sports design UFO. Bob Lazar, of course, is a physicist who worked at Los Alamos National Laboratory in New Mexico. And also he worked on the reverse engineering of these extraterrestrial craft, specifically at the site S4 in Area 51 near Groom Lake at that operation location in the 1980s. Here is his original drawing. Bob Lazar's original drawing he made. He wasn't allowed to take photos, of course, when he worked there, but this was his sketch of it. And there you can see the reactor core,
this
right in the middle of
the desktop.
Yeah, this is my desktop. No, this is not. Should be. Here, so there's the reactor core, the anti-gravity area on the bottom that you couldn't even get, you couldn't even touch, basically. It was like putting your hands on something somewhat malleable, but you were forced away from it. Here, Bob talks, here he was talking with Joe Rogan about this exact issue on the reverse engineering of these craft. I'll come back to this new logo in a second and why this is really interesting as it relates to the United States government. But just to give you some frame of reference on this specific craft that is now in this logo. Here's Bob Lazar talking about how they figured out how to turn on the spaceship, how they turned on these reactor cores. That's all they really were able to figure out. Watch.
Well, they knew there was a fuel source in it, and they were proficient at making it work. And again, my analogy to something like this is you can drop a motorcycle off in the wagon train days and just leave it with the keys parked outside, you know, somebody's place. Everybody will come around it and they'll poke and prod, and eventually they'll turn the key, get it to start, and become proficient at riding it.
Yeah.
But they won't be able to understand what the hell's going on. They won't be able to make the plastic fender, much less anything else. And I think that's exactly the state we were at. We played around with the parts long enough before I got there where they could make the reactor operate, take the fuel out, and know that it makes it work. How exactly what was going on in the reactor remained a mystery at the time. I think we made some progress on what was going on inside, but I don't think anybody really knew anything. They could just watch what was going on and make note of it.
So you remember on this show that we reported how the National Intelligence Manager for Aviation prepared the UAP UFO report. One of the offices responsible for preparing that report. So, you know, and again, that report was massive. Like, how many sightings? What does the government know? What does the government not know? What off-world vehicles do we have in our, you know, in our archives, in our warehouses, in our arsenals, so to speak, alongside the UAP task force. So again, this office is responsible for analyzing airborne threats. That's their whole purpose. Things we don't understand.
Well, and look how just the logo itself shows, like, all of the others are flying in unison, like unity, and that one's way off by itself, like it's the enemy. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
It's way down there.
And like, and we're watching
like
this.
Flying, like, we're together. Yeah.
Yeah, like we're watching this thing that's off the coast, you know. Again, the office is responsible for these airborne threats, I guess, like they see, you know, a UFO, or they also have in that logo a drone as well. Things we don't understand or we have no idea how they operate. And you can see in the report, it was drafted by the Unidentified Serial Task Force, Aerial Task Force, and the OD and the National Intelligence Director Manager for Aviation. This is the same office with this new UFO logo on it. Here it is in the report. It was drafted by the UTAP UAP Task Force and the ODNI, National Intelligence Manager for Aviation. This is from the report, the Congressional Intelligence Report on UFOs from this office. Executive Director of this office is from the United States Air Force. Here he is, Air Force General Daniel Simpson. There he is. Of course, they've been working on the reverse engineering of these craft for decades. As Bob Lazar points out, they still have no idea how these craft are able to maneuver using anti-gravity. Listen.
We can observe the effects of gravity, but we have no idea what it is. All we can do is observe it, and we can't make it. The only way you can make gravity is just put more mass together, and so, it's just a product of gravity. But if you can if you have a machine that makes gravity, you can pretty much do anything. You can affect time. You can have force fields. All that stuff that's in science fiction becomes reality if you have a machine that can make gravity. And what we worked on in the desert was a machine that makes gravity.
Is that mind blowing? Like, wake up, people. Like, literally, he was working on this, and others have come forward who were actively there working on these and reverse engineering of these craft. Like, read Philip Corso's books. Read, look at the documentation that exists on this. That ship has sailed. The United States government has acknowledged this now. Like, that's old news. That is old news. So the question then is, this common shape that's in this new logo that the government sees when they have these encounters, like, is this the most common shape? Because we wanted that out of their redacted. The name of the show is Redacted. And so the documents from these UFO reports, largely redacted, blacked out. We couldn't see them when we got our hands on them, right? So again, look, this is the common shapes part of that report.
No, that tells us a lot.
Can you see that? The only thing that's not blacked out is literally the sentence that says common shapes in the middle of the screen. I know it's kind of hard to see, but that's literally what it says. Common shapes is blacked out.
The rest of the sentence, observers frequently described unidentified aerial phenomenon as blank.
Shaped objects.
Though, such as, right? So there is an adjective there.
Right.
We just don't get it.
We don't know what is this then? The one that you chose to put in your logo, are these the most common shapes? The ones that Bob Lazar worked on at Area 51? Now they're in your logo? Like, are you telling us something without telling us? Anyway, no, it's kind of fun to kind of play around with this idea. It's just a logo after all, right? But they are actively responsible for identifying these aerial phenomenon. Nick Pope ran the British government's UFO project for the British Ministry of Defense, and Nick Pope tweeted this: the National Intelligence Manager for Aviation logo features a UFO, but this isn't something hidden that's been uncovered. It's something they've wanted to be noticed. Elements within the U.S. government are actively promoting the UFO narrative, but why? That is a great question, and why now? I see people in our chat and in our comments say, yes, this is interesting. Like, why now? It's a good question. Why now is the U.S. government admitting to this? Is it so that they can increase or distract us from other things? Like, yes, we know they exist. Yes, we've been reverse engineering these craft. Yes, aliens, of course, they exist. Is it now to bolster our defenses, spend more on a space force so that now we want to build a moon base against China? We want to actively do that. Heck, yesterday we launched a machine that literally crashed into an asteroid.
Yes.
So that we could prevent an asteroid from hitting the Earth, right? I mean, So the UFO might actually be the most normal part of this logo, actually. Of course, the U.S. government over the past few years has repeatedly acknowledged the existence of UFOs and UAPs. They're actively investigating these craft. We've heard from government officials who've worked on the reverse engineering program, calling these off-world vehicles. So it's not surprising, maybe, that then the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, which is responsible for this, has been, you know, would have this in their logo. Now, the folks over at Sandbox News did a good job of going through some of the other items in this logo, like the triangle drone here, the Dark Star Aurora. Like, there's a number of other things in here, like this triangle. There's also the drone in this. So I encourage you to read that. We'll link it up if you want at Sandbox. They went through, Alex Hollings did a really good job diving into this and talked about, like, you know, the RQ-7 drone. This is the UFOs and the only mystery in this seal. Like, why is this drone here? Specifically, the Shadow Tactical Reconnaissance Drone operated by both the U.S. Army and Marine Corps, among other national militaries. There's also in here, the Dark Star Triangular Aurora craft, the hypersonic platform that's featured in this. If you want to take my laptop here. Oh, sorry. There we go. Sorry. Oh, it didn't work. How come it works and then it doesn't work? It was plugged in. It is plugged in. I didn't unplug it. Oh, well. Anyway, you can just take the other screen. And then we have the Adobe craft, the silhouettes of the KC-135. Again, the wingtipped extensions, Bear E craft. Like, all of these things in this logo. Why is it there? And is the Office of the Director of National Intelligence just futzing with us, playing around with us?
And is this kind of like lateral move in the blue trajectory? Can we put it back on the screen? A lot of the testimonials that we hear are that they can make moves that current aircrafts cannot make, right? Sort of right angles, or I'm sorry, I can't talk about aviation in a educated way, but is that blue trajectory something that, like, we think they can do and we think that we will be able to do it too? Or is that propaganda as well? You know, it's just a question.
Yeah. And so, again, Alex Hollings is going through and really dive deep into this website. And he really talked a lot about the website is clearly under construction, where this logo showed up, was clearly a government website. Clearly, there's all sorts of URL data on this that shows that it's legit. So again, really interesting that it's in an NIMA directory. And then it was weird because then the website changed and updated itself later that evening and updated the logo later that evening and removed it. Oh. So what are they
doing? There's some speculation that it's like tongue in cheek or whatever, but it's like, this is an official site. So it's like, you can't do that to people on an official site. So that narrative wouldn't make sense.
Well, somebody in the office discussed it. Somebody in the office discussed it, printed it, made it, put it out there, put it on their website. And where did it come from? Where did the information, why does it look almost exactly like the Bob Lazar craft that was worked on Area 51?
Just hear me out. Could the aliens have put it there themselves? And then the U.S. officials were like, how'd that get there? And then they uploaded
the official. Graphic designers are as bad as ours. There's no way.
I'm just saying.
If they can get here,
I just wonder if if somebody's going to get fired for accidentally putting that image on there that they're not supposed to talk about. Like, we don't know what that is. So we could fix it. We just need to put a black bar and just redact the UFO out of it.
There we go.
Right.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
Just like a blurry UFO in there.
Like a censored.
Anyway, we're still awaiting a number of key documents from the government. Of course, the Pentagon right now actively in kind of a fight with Congress over UFO investigative bodies right now. The Congress saying we want to do it, Pentagon saying we want to do it. So we're seeing this sort of unfold. What will we get at the end of the day from these different investigative bodies? Will we get something more meaningful from Congress than we will the Pentagon? Or is the Pentagon going to continue to cover these documents up? So let us know your thoughts on this. And I will continue to study this story, as always. I would encourage you all to check out our deep interviews that we have here on the channel, because we've got longer conversations about these topics, so you don't want to miss that here on the channel. Please subscribe.
All right, before we go, we're going to read your super chats, as long as you've kept them clean. And they're not just, you know, sounds. We will read them, yes, and we appreciate them very much.
I am actually really looking at them very clearly.
Hold on. Doogie says, Clayton, you are a fool. Please explain. I'd like to know what you mean by that. Because as a journalist, I've spent countless years interviewing members of the military, politicians, who've actively been involved in these programs.
Pilots.
So when you say I'm a fool, I'd like to know what you mean. Just be, can you be specific, please? That really helps. It's very helpful when you're specific when you insult me.
Met Care with 3 super stickers. Thank you.
Thank you.
De Audiophilios y Locos, are you in Europe? Run away.
Yeah.
Unknown with a, I don't know, like a confused face, like, whoa, I don't know what's going on kind of face.
Yeah, like the one we were most of the show. Gotcha.
Saline Prepper Dark Secrets, has anyone else during the live stream had YouTube switch them over to something else?
Good question. Has anyone in our live stream who's watching our live chat right now, we have tens of thousands of you, have any of you noticed that suddenly your stream switches over to another channel without you clicking off of it?
And before we're done here.
Now, what can happen, it won't happen, like we don't do it, but what can happen is sometimes when you first come to the stream, an ad can run. That's not us, but that can happen. So if that's what you're thinking, that's the YouTube thing. But if you're talking, you legit go to a different channel, then that's not right. That shouldn't be happening.
Most of you say no, but a few of you are saying yes. Yeah. So if you are here to type yes, then you came back. So thank you for doing that.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Some people, Larry said, he had it happen to him.
That's crazy. You guys should watch Russell Brand's video today. He goes off on YouTube because they took one of his videos down.
Oh, good. And, you know, well, we mentioned it last night. I wanted to cover it here on the show. We didn't, but it's on our list of stories I want to cover, which is the head of, I did mention in passing, Senator Ron Johnson's office yesterday demanding answers from the CEO of YouTube on why they are actively censoring a sitting U.S. senator, a separate senator who's literally been covering the COVID and publishing and covering the exact documents coming from the pharmaceutical companies and still getting blocked and banned as a result of it. A U.S. senator.
Yeah, happened to us.
Yeah. And I appreciate your responses to the CNN piece we did last night about the video where an FDA advisor questioned the booster and none of us could find it collectively. That was really helpful because sometimes you know that your cookies will prevent you from seeing certain things. So you wonder, did I somehow block myself from something? But if we're all being blocked by it, sorry, I just hit my microphone, then this is concerning. And it's also validating for what we're always talking about. So I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Well, and I appreciate too that, you know, like Russell's pushing 6 million subs, you know, Steven Crowder's up there with subs. So the more YouTube messes with these bigger loyal audiences, I think the more noise that's going to be made, and that could really help all of us.
Yeah. I mean, we have 1.1 million subscribers here on the Redacted. Like, we are not a small channel. And so when you guys when you guys are here and supporting us as the Redacted Rebels, and you are like smashing that like button and you're sharing our content, it helps push it out to a bigger audience. And, you know, even if it's just sharing it with a relative, putting it out on Facebook or just sharing it on Twitter, hey, sending it to your mom or your brother or somebody and saying, hey, watch this story on Serbia, watch this. It's not, you know, what it does is it helps build up the, you know, and destroy mainstream media. It's honestly, at the end of the day, it helps destroy the CNNs of the world that are ruining society, in my opinion. So it really, really helps.
Well, and that's also a huge reason we like you to subscribe to the newsletter, because if anything ever happens, YouTube has taken us down on a moment's notice, and then we have no way other than that to communicate to you, because there might be a time where we're going to tweet something and we need the rebellion to go out and push it for us.
Yeah, that's right. So redacted.inc is our newsletter. Please subscribe. You'll get a great newsletter every day, but then if we have to send you an email like, hey, you need to come over here because YouTube, that's our way to communicate with you. So,
and you know, we are here Monday through Thursday, right? We will not work Thanksgiving and we are going to be off Christmas, but you know, we're here. We're pretty reliable. We make it a point to be here. So we appreciate that you're here too. You can count on us. And if something happens and we're not here, you will know why.
4 p.m. Eastern time every day we are here.
Can you wave and smile and say hi to Tyler? Hi, Tyler.
Hi, Tyler.
This is a super chat. That was a super chat.
All right. Brian Amor, Cultura Familia. Thank you guys for the time and effort you put in.
Thank you for coming and giving us your time and effort.
Anthony DeHardines, thank you for everything you do.
Thank you so much.
Yanni Sindichikas with a super sticker. Thank you. Paul Wernk, I hate the UFO stuff. Lou Elizondo is a spy, lies for a living. The intel community has always heavily messed with the UFO community. All lies.
Well, here, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. So, you know, like I want to have, I'm actually working to have Lou on the show, actually. I've been texting him about coming on the show. So I'd like to have Lou on the show and we can ask him those questions. But don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Like if you disagree with something that Lou Elizondo has done, don't discount Philip Corso. Don't discount the, you know, Bob Lazars of the world. And yes, absolutely, Mirage Men is true. And the people that have tried to, you know, create false narratives and false flags about the UFO, that was an active government program, right? To make people seem crazy. That was literally what their mission was to, like, you know, put out this idea of, or make you, it would take the story and make it even worse so you would seem like a crazy person. And then people would start laughing at you. And then on the nightly news, newscasts in local markets, they would play X-Files music. And we've got a funny UFO story to tell you about here. Like, that literally was their mission. So don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Yes, absolutely, there's been some bad eggs. But again, be objective about it.
Well, and make sure you're subbed and have notifications on by clicking the bell, because before we do those interviews, we could put out a poll and let you guys ask some questions as well, and maybe Clayton can include them so that you can get your questions and your skepticism.
Yeah.
Hokey pokey, I was abducted by beings when I was a child. Sad face.
Okay. Sorry about that. Glad you're back.
Hey, by the way, George Knapp just did a great interview on Coast to Coast this weekend with a group of people who claim to have been abducted, like abductees. So go listen to it on Coast to Coast.
Bry Steinberg, the Nord Stream 2 pipeline was sabotaged. Pull up pics in Baltic Sea.
Yep, might be a late text here coming in, but yes, we covered that in a big part of our show.
Lion Kennedy, I'm so happy to be a member of your channel. Your show is a breath of fresh air. I especially like your rabbit hole topics. Wait until the deep state uses their final trump card, Project Blue Beam.
Oh.
Spaceship and oh my gosh face.
Thank you.
The view from below with a super sticker. And Justin Johnson wants you to know that be prepared. Jesus is coming soon.
Okay.
Hey, we'll keep the light on for him.
Subdarshan Rai, a man who sold the world, Zelensky.
MC2 wants to know, has anyone seen a UFO? Actually, Natalie and I did.
Yes, we did.
You want to admit this? So we were in the Algarve in southern Portugal. It was a like totally clear evening. And we were like laying on a towel, looking straight up at the sky at nighttime.
Yeah.
And we were laying out on this like sun deck of this little boathouse that we
were
rented.
On a houseboat, and you could see the stars because we were sort of out in the middle of this estuary, and we were just watching stars, and there was one star that just started to move at a right angle.
Yeah, we were like, did you see
what?
That? And it started moving at a right angle. And then we were like, oh, are you seeing this? All right, and we saw it for like 15, 20 seconds.
Not like a shooting star, but it was actually... Yeah.
And then it shut off. And then it shut off outwards, not down like a meteorite or something. So it's a UFO. It's unidentified flying object. I don't know what the hell it was.
Stars don't do that.
Yes. There you go.
Hey, I have, as a kid, I have a memory, and it's like such a hardcore ingrained in me memory. Like I heard a noise when I was a kid. I was like 11 and I jumped up and looked out my window. And I saw something go right between my neighbor's house and our house. And it went through there and then up and left and like really fast. And I remember it just like it. I can see it as if it still happened or like it just happened when I think about it. Like, yeah,
that's crazy.
I believe you.
Yes. Well, people are saying, and yeah. That's why I say this show is a safe place. Like bring your ideas. Like we're not going to ridicule anyone.
I think there's always that logical jump that people want to, or illogical jump, really, that UFO automatically means aliens.
Right.
Where, yeah. Like, that's not the same thing. I mean, you don't know what it is. That's the whole point of it being unidentified. Because I more subscribe to the, you'll hear it sometimes, like physicists will say, like, it's never aliens until it's aliens.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's like the sort of like, you don't just make that leap every time until you know. But that's just me.
I did put my thumb up, but they didn't come, you know, because if they picked me up, I would happily hitch a ride off of planet Earth.
I'd like to go see the moon base.
But don't bring me back.
You sure got a pretty mouth.
I'd like to go see what's going on in Antarctica.
That's a joke from yesterday where David said there's a conversation about our mouths.
Yeah.
We had lunch with an old friend of mine today, and she said, oh, yeah, I used to have a friend of mine that we knew in common who described you as the girl with the symmetrical face. Bring that friend of yours with the symmetrical face.
Symmetrical face. That's really bizarre.
That was my reputation. Okay, I'll take it.
Yeah, I'd take that too. Being a one eye higher than the other guy, I'd take that any day. John Titor, he said this several times, so I think he really, really wants us to know this. Like he said it several days in a row. Maybe it makes more sense to you to know why Germany will lead the future EU army against Russia. For them, it's personal. Pay attention to Germany strengthening their military to lay the foundation for the EU army.
Okay. Mm. People keep saying, I saw a Starlink insertion. That's what we saw that night. I mean, I don't know anything that could move that far, that fast, at a right angle in deep space.
And
I
it
mean,
was what, it, really far
I,
up.
I don't think it's impossible. Nothing like that can move like that.
Well, and a Starlink insertion would be a constant, like it would push it out at a certain way, but it wouldn't like jump and then go a different way. Like
it was very erratic. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
It was like this.
Those missions are going to be very like straightforward, like moving one direction.
Yeah, exactly.
So...
It was likely a Mylar balloon filled with swamp gas.
Right. Yes, it was a Mylar balloon filled with swamp gas. Exactly. The age old.
Gerardo, great reporting, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Boru, I'm going to skip that one. Relax, super sticker. Rajab Abazov. Hi, everyone. I hope you all are having a wonderful day. I am Mechka Turk, born in Russia, now currently live in the States. I don't think NATO or USA will launch a war with Russia, knowing that we won't benefit or win.
Hmm.
But do we know that? That's the problem.
That's interesting. And are you able to say that to people inside of the United States? I'm also curious. Yeah.
Mark Adrzak. She was 12 and I was 30. Biden. What the hell does that mean?
Oh, yeah, that was
just something he said in a speech. Yeah, I have
the
no
most bizarre
idea.
Thing. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
referring to how he met his wife. I was like, okay.
Robert Knight, it makes the most sense that it would be a Western effort to destroy Nord Stream. Russia has no reason to destroy their primary leverage on sanctions.
Right. Yeah.
No, and Vladimir Putin just issued a report, a quote just a few moments ago on the referendums. Now that they have the four regions have voted to become part of Russia, he says the focus of the context of the special military operation in Donbas was for the safety of the people. And now with the referendum, saving all people in all territories, namely saving people in all territories where this referendum is being held, is at the forefront. The focus of attention of our entire society, the entire country, the safety of these people. That's a statement from Vladimir Putin just a short time ago. There you go.
Nymeria 19, number one, Zakaria Adderhamin Sadel and Martavis Parker with super stickers.
Thank you.
Trip Twitch, please add a Grover super sticker. So we actually can't add super stickers. We have, if you become a channel member, there's emotes that we have that have tons of Grover, but we can't do super stickers, unfortunately, yet.
I was thinking for the redacted rebels, like what is a good logo that we can come up with that people can use here? Maybe as just like a giant R. Is there an R? Like, is there an R emoji?
Yeah,
that
we
people
could do
can
an R,
type?
And we could do like a redacted, you know, square box.
Yeah, we got to think of something here that people can use in the chat here. Like,
you know, what we could do. We could make an R, an E, a B, an E, an L, L, and an I, O, N, so they could spell out rebellion.
That would be cool. Mm. That would be cool. Yeah. Are you a redacted rebel? Yeah, let's do it. Let's figure it out.
Okay. Riley, thoughts on Canada's new conservative leader, Pierre?
I have thoughts. Maybe we'll do a full segment on it this week, actually. I know how Trudeau feels about it. you know, absolutely been outspoken against the Trudeau regime. So, yeah, maybe we can do a segment on it this week, actually, because there's a lot I have to say about it.
Twitch says, we are a trillion times better than CNN. Peace, love, and unity with the peace sign.
I love that you're using we. We are. You and me. Yes. All of us.
Ani XXL, the blue, I do believe, represents the NGAD program.
Oh, on the logo. Okay.
Will Aiden, Ukraine referendums are intentionally illegitimate and against the Ukrainian constitution.
So is the violation of the Minsk agreements.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Beer and Flies with a super sticker with $50. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Doesn't Beer and Flies Nymerian, like, have a $50 super sticker like every show? Pretty much.
Regularly. Pretty much, yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
We appreciate it.
And we'd literally buy beer with it. So.
Someone got the 19. R. How do they do that? It's your mom has the R. Is that an R with a black circle around it? How'd you do that? Or am I just seeing things?
No, I didn't see a circle.
Okay. All right.
I saw it. I'm looking at it right now. R with a black Sharpie line through it.
Oh, that's okay. So, yeah. So, oh, wait, Sharpie. I see the one that's like the blocks.
Yeah.
Derek Morris says he saw the same thing that we admitted to seeing with his cousin and I. Moved in a strange shape, square pattern, flew off instantly. So,
see, we're not crazy, Derek.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, we're working on the redacted t-shirts. Grim on our team is working on those right now.
3412, Donex with a super sticker. Moray, where is the safest place in the world?
Who knows at this point?
I don't know. Madagascar.
I mean, I feel pretty safe here in my mom's basement.
I mean, you have a bunch of billionaires that just are building bunkers in New Zealand. So, I mean, Peter Thiel just building a massive bunker. Yeah, exactly.
Hobbits knew what they were doing.
No, we won't spoil our logo, Prod. We're not going to spoil our logo. We're just saying we'd have logos that you guys could drop here in the chat, like an R with something on it. Someone was saying we need to dial this in because it keeps shifting focus in and out, in and out, in and out. So going to dial this in.
We'll work on that.
David, I'm going to put you on that task.
Okay. Imani Malik Butler, expose all top secrets, be transparent, period.
Okay. We're trying.
One Burr National Smile with a super sticker. Noel Peabone, inert gas, not natural gas, used to protect Nord 2 from the water pressure while it was offline. Was nat gas in Nord 1, though? Water pressure will damage now.
Yeah, I don't know if we know the details of Nord 1, but all the pressure dropped on both of them. So, you know, and clearly what we're hearing is damage on both, so...
Eve Barlow's Rotten Crotch. I live in the UK. Please send blankets and coal.
Thanks for reading that exactly.
What do I want my YouTube name to be?
I don't know, but that was awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
Face
like
your
a Simpsons.
Fears. Thank you for...
Name, where they call the bars. Like Amanda Monty. Hug and Kiss.
Amanda or like Monty Python. Captain, I don't want anyone to say it.
Face your fears. Thank you for all you do. Love from Alberta, Canada.
Thank you so Greenheart. Much.
Satman says, I don't buy t-shirts, but I would buy a redacted one. Thank you so much. And I want to get I really can't wait for the hoodies because that's my jam.
I'm a hoodie guy. So that's what I'm waiting for. Is the redacted.
Come on, Graham.
It's got to be a nice one.
That's what you're getting for Christmas.
And we're going
I just want a black hoodie.
Yeah, high quality.
Yeah, I want a black hoodie with a black redacted bar on it. Just black on black. That's all I want.
So you wouldn't even see it. It'd be so redacted, you won't even see the black bar.
Like most James of the Bond, information look, we get from the government.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. James Bond, look to the east. The king of gods is Shing Bright. I think he meant shining, but it says Shing.
Okay. Maybe that's an answer to where we're the safest in the world. All right. Well, hey, thank you for sticking it out with us for the entire show. We took on controversial topics today. And I will admit I was nervous about the piece that I presented because of how fraught it is with emotion And I appreciate you sticking it out here. And we will see you here tomorrow. Remember to hit the like button, subscribe, and subscribe to the newsletter. We will release that tomorrow, and then we will be here with you later in the afternoon. Thanks so much, everybody.
Bye now.